Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast, where we feature discussions with the unique personalities we find in our small town. I'm your host, Roger Gross, and today we continue our series of interviews with candidates for City Council and Mayor in partnership with Boulder City Social. This week, we sit down with City Council member James Howard Adams. James was elected 3 years ago and is the only City Council incumbent up for re-election since Claudia Bridges, whose term is also ending, decided not to run again. Adams is the youngest member of City Council and talks about his time on Council, his accomplishments, and what he hopes to do if elected to a second term. He's a musician and founder of the band Same Sex Mary and is looking forward to performing again now that the pandemic is winding down. He spoke with me at his home in Boulder City in April. The Boulder City Podcast is sponsored by the Emerald Island Casino and the Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, where slot players are treated like royalty. Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast. This is our special candidates version of the podcast. We're talking to all the candidates for City Council and Mayor in the next election, and we're here with James Howard Adams, who is a councilman. We're doing the incumbents first. So, James, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time and working it out for us.
No, thank you so much for having me. I think this is absolutely wonderful. This is something that the community can use. I listened to these podcasts right. The last go around, so sure. I think it's a great thing for our community.
Well, you know, last year we couldn't get together.
I know.
And Gene Widner at Boulder City Social and I decided, well, it was very popular. Let's try it again. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's going to help people out a lot. I mean, you get to talk one-on-one here. There'll be a couple of candidate forums, from what I understand. But we like to give you, you know, time to tell us what you're going to do. So let's talk about, you know, you've been elected to council 3 years ago mm-hmm. now. You've been on council for all that time. What's the most important thing that you've learned during that time that's kind of influenced your position here?
There's so much, right? And it's sure. always a learning process.
Right.
I would have to say the most important thing and also probably the most difficult has been knowing that balance, finding that balance of being both a representative and mm-hmm. also someone in a position of leadership, right? I need to be able to stay true to my convictions, you mm-hmm. know, what I stand for, but I also need to be able to check my ego at the door.
Sure, right,
you know?
Right.
I started, you know, on this journey towards local governance in 2017 when I started attending the council meetings, mm-hmm. unbeknownst to me that sure. I would be here. But, but you know, I got up there, I was seeing some things that I didn't like, you
sure.
know, and so I started commenting at public comment and, mm-hmm. and making my voice heard all in the hopes that they would listen to me.
Sure.
And so now I'm the person in that chair needing to listen to those who come up, because I know how intimidating that can be. You know?
No question.
You're up there at the podium, you're looking at the dais, you got the staff flanking you on each side. So I'm keenly aware of what that feels like. And for me, it's really important to make sure that people do know that they are being heard.
Sure.
And ultimately, you know, I hope that when I'm making my decisions, it's not decisions that I feel that I think are in the best interest of the city. Hopefully I'm making decisions that I believe that the community has said that it's in the best interest
sure.
of itself.
Well, if you listen to everybody, at least you get the input. So
exactly.
I think that works out fine. So what accomplishments are you most proud of during the last 3 years?
I would have to say that the thing that I am most proud of is our increase in transparency, access to information mm-hmm. At City Hall. You know, when I started running and I started reviewing some of the old meetings, the
right.
Planning Commission, Historic Preservation Committee, I wanted to get some history on some of the things. The only thing that was available was an MP3 file.
Right.
And I was kind of blown away. I said, what do you mean there's not,
right.
we've already filmed the council meetings,
mm-hmm.
why aren't we doing this? So one of the very first things I did when we got in there was making sure that we did start filming every public meeting now that is subject to the open meeting
mm-hmm.
law. We have being filmed. And now, not only is it being filmed, it's being put on YouTube. So there's even
right.
greater access. We can have closed captions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because an audio file, that might be great for some.
Sure.
But if you're deaf or hard of hearing
mm-hmm.
in our community, it
right.
does you nothing. So,
or you don't have an attention span.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly. So you know, and they're doing they're giving their presentations. You know, you can't hear a visual
sure.
Medium. So that was, to me, was one of the most important aspects, and we continue to, I think, move forward in that way. You know, we were having almost, when I looked at it, they asked them how many people are downloading these planning commission
right.
meetings, these audio files. Nobody was.
Right.
You know, now if you look at our YouTube, we're getting, you know, anywhere from 25 to 100 views. That might
right.
sound like small numbers
right. well,
for some,
town.
But
yeah.
but the point is that there was always a demand for it.
Right.
You know, it was just we weren't providing it in a way or giving people the opportunity to reach it.
Okay.
And so that is to me the most important thing that I've accomplished.
Okay, great. So about a year into your term, the pandemic hit and everything was shut down. Are you pleased with the way the city responded to the pandemic at that point?
Absolutely. I mean, I think our staff went above and beyond in their call of duty to make sure that our citizens were taken care of. You know, we offered things that only other cities just couldn't do because we have this small, robust community that was
right.
out there for support. And it wasn't just our staff. It was our community itself
right.
banding together. You know, it was hard on all of us.
Sure.
As we were talking before, I'm a musician, I'm a performer.
Right.
I've been out of work for 2 years outside
right.
of this. So I've felt it keenly, just like other people. But I am very proud of what our staff is able to accomplish in helping and supporting our community.
Okay, great. So as a result of that, we're getting a lot of federal aid from the mayor told me it was $21 million. At that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have half of it now, but what are we going to allocate that for? I mean, I know there's some things you have to use it for, but there's other things that is kind of wide open.
Right. Yeah. So there is an amount that is restricted.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that is being restricted to water and wastewater management improvements that we can do. I think there are some also, to mitigate the ongoing effects of COVID-19 of the pandemic.
Right.
But then there is, I believe it's $10 million. I think that was the limit on the unrestricted funds.
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, the only thing that the council has slated to move forward now, this isn't that it's going ahead, but it's
right.
We're starting the process, is some funding to get a dog park here in town,
right.
one with grass,
mm-hmm.
Also to allow for free entry for swim and youth sports for the youth so that they can access our recreational facilities free of charge.
Okay.
So I think those are the first things that we have approved of in that. So we still have a large sum to move forward with. What's going to be important, obviously, is community input.
Yeah.
We have a website. I don't know it off the top of my head, but if
mm-hmm.
you go to bcnv.org,
right.
You can provide some input. Ultimately, I think the thing that is most important is that it is an investment into our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that we will get a return on in that investment. Maybe not in dollars, but
sure.
in the services that we provide, in the quality of life that we've come to expect.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. So when you were elected, clearly the biggest issue was the slow growth ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big hullabaloo with the
mm-hmm.
thing that we're going to develop down by a railroad pass, and a lot of objections to that. But or they even just talked about it. But so obviously that's important to the people of Boulder City. Does slow growth to you mean no growth, or is there a center path there?
No, absolutely. The controlled growth ordinance does not mean no growth. It
right.
was never intended to.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 41, it clearly states that we are to, advance the general welfare
right.
by making sure we keep a well-balanced, healthy community
mm-hmm.
By avoiding wanton development,
right?
So it says nothing about not growing. What it does talk about is how we should grow.
Right.
And a lot of times when we talk about the controlled growth ordinance, it comes down to the numbers, right?
Right.
We all heard, no more than 30 homes per developer, per
mm-hmm.
development per year. We
right.
got a cap of 120 that we never even reach.
Right.
But it's a lot more than that, too. One of the things that I think is often overlooked is that it also asks of us to make sure that we are meeting the variety of housing needs in the community.
Right.
Because we are intentionally limiting supply, that means we will never meet the demand.
Right.
And so we have to be aware that we're not just building one type of housing product for one specific group
mm-hmm.
or marketplace, if you
right.
will. We have to meet the needs of the community as a whole. And
right.
so that's there's a big part of that to me that's important about the controlled growth ordinance.
Okay. So we just have this Track 350 coming up. This has already been approved for sale by
mm-hmm.
the voters of Boulder City. It's been 10 years ago, but still it's still been approved. And then the council just recently approved a favored, developer, the Toll Brothers. And some of their suggestions are we have 5,000 square foot lots, which is smaller a lot of lots, but they're still not smaller than everything. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we have other lots that are that small as well. Where do you see that going? Do you see a 5,000 square foot lot, or do you see even something like townhouses or things like that that could be developed along there?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that we have to look into, right? Mm-hmm. What's most important is that we get it right.
Right.
You know, this could very well be the last, you know, housing build out that we have for some time. And
right.
depending on how we handle the water crisis that
sure,
we're
right.
in, and when I say we, I mean the entire Southwest
yes,
region as a
right.
whole, it could be our last, you
mm-hmm.
know, so we have to get it right. So, you know, I know a lot of people are thinking, is the money the most important thing? At the end of the day, the appraisal is going to determine the value that
right.
we get for that land.
Right.
So that for me, that's not a motivating factor. I know a lot of people are talking about what the current zoning is.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we have to take into account, but we also have to understand that the needs of a community can change drastically in 7 years. We
right.
just saw the needs of the community change drastically in just the last 2 years.
Sure.
So the most important thing is maintaining that character,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, the as I said before, the controlled growth ordinance speaks to, making sure we meet a variety.
Right.
At the end of Storybook Homes, we'll have just built 122 new homes, the majority of them being over 2,200 square feet.
Right.
Some of them currently built already. 3,400 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
That last phase of theirs, that's R10, 10,000 square foot lots.
Right.
So we'll have just built 122 new homes that are large size to fit the needs of large families.
Right.
Of course, I know there's going to still be families out there who want
sure.
that larger housing product, but that's the reality of the growth control ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
We limit the supply, and you know, we'll never meet that demand.
Right.
So, you know, I have no issue, as you mentioned, you know, some of the lots there are 5,000 to 6,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
I have no issue with lot sizes under 7,000 square feet. I
right.
think some of the most charming, character-defining homes that we
sure.
have in Boulder City can be found on lots that size.
Mm-hmm.
I also am not somebody who thinks that homes, that only people who can afford million-dollar homes should be allowed to live around the golf course. This
right.
this isn't a private, you know, country club. This
mm-hmm.
is a public course
right.
owned by the city, intended for the entire community.
Right.
Not
a gated community.
Right, exactly,
right.
exactly. And, you know, if you were to give me the magic wand, right,
right.
And I were to listen to what I hear and need from the, see from the community, I should say, I would be thinking that, you know, lots anywhere between, this, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 square feet, somewhere in that range, you know, homes anywhere from, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 square feet, some
mm-hmm.
with generous setbacks. I
sure.
think that's important. Something
right.
that I don't like about the Toll Brothers plan is the small setbacks on some of those
right.
5,000 square foot lots. But something with generous setbacks so that the homes could grow with the needs of the families,
right.
you know, and then over time that changes, you know, the street, the variety in streetscape, and
sure.
then it also mitigates that cookie cutter feel that we all hate, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
But I know I'm probably in the minority opinion on houses and lots that size,
mm-hmm.
At least on the council. And that's, you know, that's where this, it all comes together.
Sure,
you know,
right,
I'm
right.
one person on council, and we all hear from different people in the community. I think we all do our best to hear from as many different voices as we can. But no matter what, we all live very different lives and,
sure.
and are going to hear from a variety. So all of that is going to come together. And I can only hope that at the end of the day, we are truly trying to meet the needs of the entire community as a whole, and not just the wants and desires of the nearest, you know, neighborhood.
Right.
And I don't say that to sound dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, you know, some people want still more and more of these larger homes. But at the end of the day, what's most important is that we address the needs of the entire
right.
community.
Do you think we need to have some kind of emphasis on affordable housing, whatever the definition of affordable housing might be?
Yeah, and certainly Track 350, it would not be affordable in
right.
any circumstance, but definitely more attainable depending on the direction we go.
Right.
I think we need to go for more attainable. As far as do we need affordable housing in Boulder City? Yes. I mean, whatever that definition is,
right.
We have people of all ages, whether they're kids coming back from college, or young families who are trying to plant their feet somewhere, even people who have lived here 40, 50 years that are getting squeezed out.
Right.
You know, they can't continue to live here in a place that they love and call home.
Mm-hmm.
And Boulder City is not the beautiful place that it is because of its laws and its ordinances.
Right.
It's because of the people who have lived the experience.
Right.
And so if we find ourselves in a situation where those who have lived that experience are getting squeezed out, and we're just allowing those who can simply afford to move in to move in, I think it's going to be problematic for us down in the long run.
Okay, great. So What would you propose that we do to discourage the encroachment of Henderson into El Dorado Valley? Obviously, we have them already annexed the land down there. Apparently, there's nothing we can do about that, but we need to put up some sort of wall there, right?
Right. obviously, we need to keep the dialogue open, right. Make sure that we are trying our best to meet some type of agreeable ends, I guess, to this situation. But we do have to understand that Boulder City's interests and Henderson interests are just completely out of line with each other.
Correct,
on this
right.
one. And so we also have to stand by our convictions. You know, mm-hmm. it all comes back to this growth control ordinance. Another thing that it says we need to be sure we do as a community is remain distinct from geographically from other neighboring
right.
communities. Mm-hmm. So we need to be sure that Henderson understands and knows that if they are going to go ahead with developing this for private industry, that they're going to do so alone, or at least not with Boulder City's help.
Right.
You know, a lot of the development that does get down there for solar, the rock quarry that's mm-hmm. down there, we provide, our water to them.
Right.
That should never happen for Henderson to develop. We
right.
should absolutely not allow for them to use our utilities, our water, anything like that.
Right.
We need to absolutely stay strong on that.
Okay, great.
Visit the Rainbow Club and Emerald Island Casinos for award-winning dining and the best selection of the newest video reel games, video keno, and video poker. Recognized by the Las Vegas Review-Journal's Best of Las Vegas Award, Emerald Island Casino has been voted Best Video Poker, Best Paying Slots, Best Henderson Casino, Best Henderson Restaurant, Best Locals Casino Valleywide, Best Breakfast, Best Coffee Shop, and Best Diner. Rainbow Club's new restaurant, Triple B, was also voted Best Burger and Best Brunch. Emerald Island Casino and Rainbow Club Casino, where slot players are treated like royalty.
So we've had several restaurants and other businesses have recently closed for various reasons. I think Anytime Fitness just closed, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So that's one less business. What can we do to encourage more businesses to open and the existing businesses to thrive here in Boulder City? And is there any specifics you can give us?
Well, sure. I mean, I'd like to, I think what we have done is very important. Mm-hmm. We were able to direct over $316,000, to our small businesses and also our residents to help, support and manage the burdens that were placed on them
right.
during the pandemic. For some, that wasn't enough, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I know many that it really did help support them
sure.
and get them through, over that hump. We've also recently we created a historic RDA grant,
mm-hmm.
And we've got a success story there. The Dam Roast House now
right.
open. They were the
mm-hmm.
first ones to apply and receive funding
right.
For that historic grant. And so now we have a building that was under threat of demolition.
Yeah.
And not only have we saved it, but we've breathed new life into it.
Right.
That's a great success story. I feel for all those businesses that couldn't make it. As I was talking about earlier, I'm a performer, entertainer.
Right.
My wife and I, we haven't worked for over 2 years
mm-hmm.
in that field.
Right.
There have been times when we've been living paycheck to paycheck.
Sure,
so
right.
so we felt that. But I actually think we have a bit of a success story here in Boulder City with our new businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we've got the Dam Roast House, one that's close to me. We've got My Four Sons is the comic book shop
right.
that
mm-hmm.
started out on the
yep.
outskirts of town. I was nervous because, being somebody who's into that kind of niche,
yeah.
niche Dungeons and Dragons type stuff, I was afraid that maybe Boulder City didn't have a market
right.
for them. But not only did they succeed, but now they've moved from that Marshall Plaza. They're right there in the downtown
right.
area.
Yep.
Where we've seen so much growth. We've
mm-hmm.
got Iron Rose. It's a new plant shop here in town.
Right.
Anita does a great job. That's most of these plants that we have around here.
yeah.
That's the new gift
right.
spot,
Yeah.
Big T's, that's right next to Dam Roast House.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new staple in the dining experience here. A part of the big part of the nightlife if you're going
yes.
out and about in
mm-hmm.
town. Big T's is a big part of that. I think we got a bit of a success story. We've got, I know Grant Turner's opening up another
that's
bar.
Right,
we've
yep.
got Beer Zombies that's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting on the city.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're going to get that handled at our next council meeting here
mm-hmm.
coming up. And then I think the biggest catch of all is Cornish Pasty.
Right.
That is a huge catch that, any city in Las Vegas would have
right.
Been wanting to grab. I say Las Vegas, I mean the area.
Right.
And they could have gone anywhere, but they chose Boulder City.
Right.
So we should all be very fortunate. I know there are probably many towns that are our size throughout the country that are that are our size,
right.
that would be jealous of the boom we've seen in our, sure. in our small business growth sure. here in
okay.
town.
Great. So city voters in the last election, I believe, rejected OHV vehicles on the streets. There's a lot of some people that want to revive that effort again, and other people that want to say, well, we need to enforce it to a greater degree. Where do you stand on that?
I think that if people do want to move forward on that, you know, last time it was a concerted, you know, grassroots effort. In order for that to succeed, they're going to need that again.
Right.
You know, I have heard from some, you know, the desire to see that continue, but I haven't seen the organization behind it to get it there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, it's going to need that if we're going to get to that point, especially after the community has already voted and said, no, we don't want to move in that direction. Personally, I think moving in that direction allows us to better enforce and to better regulate so that that behavior that is not criminal or nuisance
right.
Could be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And then that behavior that is problematic, you know, could be more better enforced.
Sure.
You know, our officers can't be everywhere.
Sure.
So, of course, you know, if there are areas right now in which there are people are seeing problems with this type of behavior with off-road vehicles and stuff, you know, they got to let us know.
Right.
That's where we're at right
sure.
now,
okay.
you know.
Great. So also the voters last time rejected a measure to build a pool, but it was at a really high price
mm-hmm.
point. Do you favor reconsidering that at a more reasonable budget?
Yeah, and that's I think exactly what we've done. You know, what the voters rejected was the city going out for a bond of I think it was $40 million.
Right.
And that bond could then be used for any recreational facility, not, you know, it was including a pool, not
right.
limited to a pool.
Right.
That bond would have then been placed, you know, on the tax base. So
mm-hmm.
then it meant that in the end, in order to support those payments,
right.
we likely would have had to raise taxes on individuals.
Right.
I think that's what people rejected.
Mm-hmm.
But with the last election, we also had a vote to affirm that if and should Track 350 be sold, that those proceeds, that revenue generated from there would be directed to construct a new facility.
Right.
So I think people in Boulder City have been clear. They want to see a new facility.
Yep.
They don't want to see, I think, what has been quoted as the Tajma pool.
Right.
You know, we want a new pool.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we did on council was form the ad hoc municipal pool advisory committee, where we addressed just that. That was the only focus was, how do we address this pool?
Right.
And a big part of it was maintaining the footprint of the park as we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep the lobby if we can. You know, keep those racquetball courts. Make sure the Girl Scout house, the multi-use
right.
building, all those things stay there. You know, what we really need to address are the locker rooms and the pool.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. there's just no way around that.
Sure.
And so that's what we presented. Of course, as we all know, as the years continue to go by, the price continues to go up and up and up.
Right.
The sooner we can get started on it, the better. A lot of that's going to be determined, like we said, on that Track 350, which
right.
is mm-hmm. is going to be a long process.
Right.
But I think the voters have been very clear. They want to see a new facility. And so it's all about how we get there. And
okay.
I think the voters have at least said that the path we have laid out now is one in which they can get behind.
Okay. So we also have the golf courses, and
mm-hmm.
You know, we've sunk a lot of money in Boulder Creek. I understand that we're doing much better at the Muni there, but are you happy with the way it's being managed right now?
I'm not a golfer,
yeah.
So I'll say that, but I do speak to a lot in this community who
sure.
are, you know,
right.
we do have a lot of golfers here in this community. And from what I hear, Andy Schaefer and his team, they are doing a terrific job at managing
mm-hmm.
those golf courses.
Yeah.
So I think here in Boulder City, we're very fortunate to have that partnership. We do also have to understand though that, our golf courses and our parks for that matter are incredibly water intensive.
Right.
And we are in the middle of a water crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the things we're working on at the city with SNWA is to upgrade our water treatment facility
mm-hmm.
so that we can then use reclaimed water
right.
To be watering our golf courses, watering some of our parks. Because then every gallon of reclaimed water that we can use
right.
on that park is a gallon of water that we can keep in Lake Mead.
Right.
Again, you know, this is going to be probably a recurring theme. We're in the middle of a major drought, and
right.
all indications point to it getting worse, not better, over
mm-hmm.
time. So we also have to be very aware that every gallon of water that we use, whether it's reclaimed or not, that is a gallon of water that the next generation we will not be able to have.
Right.
That's the gallon
right.
we're taking away from them now for
sure.
our luxury and amenities and this, you know, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is going to come a time, I think, sooner than we want it to, where we're going to have to really make some hard decisions about what do we need to do to ensure that the next generation has a community that they can love and support and call home.
Right.
Over what our, you know, just our wants and desires are right now, mm-hmm. at this time.
Okay, great. So another major asset in the city is the airport. Obviously, you've heard the controversy mm-hmm. over the past 3 years about the hangars, and now there's a proposal to build a tower down mm-hmm. there. Where do you stand on that? Do you think we need a tower? Do you think the airport's big enough as it is, or is it a real asset that we can grow and use as a revenue generator for the city?
Well, the airport isn't a revenue generator for the city. It's an enterprise fund.
Right.
So the funds that the revenue that is generated for the airport is spent on the airport. You know, those funds don't mix. The issue with the air traffic control tower, that's not something that we put in place to get more traffic. That's mm-hmm. something that we need because of the traffic that is currently there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are an incredibly busy airport in Southern Nevada. I don't right. think people use that, but it is used widely for tours mm-hmm. and all sorts of stuff.
Right.
So the point is, the need for the air traffic control tower is there now.
Right.
I think to not get it would be a disservice to our community, and, you know, God forbid something does happen and we said, no, we don't want the air traffic control tower. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's a tragedy that we need to avoid.
Right.
I know there are arguments that, oh, if you have this air traffic control tower, that's just the beginning, because then you can expand the airport and you can, you know, do all that sort of stuff, and then you can grow the airport. We don't need to do that. I don't think I don't think anyone in the community wants to do that, except maybe a select few. But ultimately, what's most important is that council should be making those types of decisions. Right now, the airport master plan is slated for major development, for mm-hmm. growth.
Right.
I think that's something that the council needs to be looking at and addressing. And, you know, projects that are on that master plan, we don't have to move forward with them.
Mm-hmm.
But if those projects are not on there, then we can't move forward with them because they have to be FAA approved.
Right.
So if we don't want to see the airport grow in this rapid way or uncontrollably, then we as a council need to go in there and address that master plan and take out that growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge, long process. You know, there is time frames in which we do it, and then it has to go through the FAA. And it's much bigger than just the city council thing, but it's something that we need to start. Moving towards, I think.
Right, right. So the issue of the hangars is going to come up again because mm-hmm. the next leases are due, I think, within the next couple of years. You know, I'm still confused about why the city decided to take over those hangars when they had to be improved to begin with to get more fire suppressant and things like that. I mean, have you had any indication how the city has handled the hangars that it took over recently?
From what I can, from my understanding at least, is, I mean, all of the hangars are currently being rented out. I don't mm-hmm. know of anybody who was displaced
right.
or anything. I'm sure there were some, but we still have a list for people who are looking to rent from us. I think it's really unfortunate how the city handled it. You know, mm-hmm. we were put in a situation, you know, I campaigned, you know, for, you know, however many months it was, and never once did anybody mention anything about the airport.
Right.
You know, I got in there, there was no mention about the airport, and all of a sudden it was, oh, by the way, here's this contract mm-hmm. right now that's up. It's been 30 years in the making, you know, coming up.
Right.
And you guys have, you know, 4 months to figure it out.
Right.
You know, that's not fair on anybody. It's not fair to the public, certainly. You know, most of us on the council, you know, the only person that might have any semblance of an understanding of some of that stuff would be Claudia Bridges, with her husband being a pilot. So
right.
at least she's involved in that community. Otherwise, I don't know of any of us that had any of that aviation
yeah.
experience. So, you know, it was very hard. At the end of the day, we do have to look out for the interests of the city. And the FAA is very clear that you cannot just, you know, give property that is public property that has been given public money.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just privatize it, you
right.
know. And so, you know, we have contracts that were very clear. Those who recently bought were made aware that, you know, this was the end date on this lease, and
mm-hmm.
that the point of it was that it would revert to the city. Now, are there ways in which the city could have avoided that reversion?
Right.
You know, there are in senses of, you know, if there was a group or an organization that then wanted to create a new lease, right? A new master lease, and then they would improve upon it, similar to it's been a little while now. I can't remember the original name of the who developed the hangars, but essentially, if that group or a similar group wanted to then go in and reinvest, but this is something that happens throughout the country. It's a heartache that every community goes through because they have these leases, and eventually they come to fruition, and that was always the intention of these was we would receive those benefits.
Great. So we also have an issue with the raising electricity prices, power energy prices here in town. We're not unique in that. It's all throughout Clark County. Is there some way we could use some of the money we get from the solar leases to mitigate those increases to Boulder City residents?
Well, our next solar lease that's coming online, we actually have a power purchasing agreement. I think it's 5 megawatts. I can't be certain on that. But basically what that will allow us to do is when we need power, you know, most of the power that we get does come from the hydroelectricity generated by the dam. But when that power is not available, and that's usually, you know, during the summer months, we have to go to market. So when we have to go to market, we can look and see, you know, within that 5 megawatts, is that price going to be less than if we go to the market? So we can purchase at that fixed price. I will say, you know, how we got to where we are right now on our prices, it was 2016 when the city council at the time voted to increase rates across the board, and then they implemented an automatic increase every month or every year after that. And one of the first things we did on council was to end that, because we were seeing huge amounts of revenue coming in, the reserves filling up, and we couldn't even get through the projects fast enough, you know, as these funds were ballooning. So we got an outside group to come in, do a comprehensive rate study. They came back and said, you guys could actually reduce your rates and you would be fine to continue moving forward with the projects at hand. That then went to the Utility Advisory Committee, and they reviewed it and made sure that everything was good. And they ultimately then recommended that we could reduce rates. So we actually have reduced rates. So people's rates have gone down. If you are paying more this year than last year, we all probably know why. It's getting hotter sooner. It's staying hotter for longer. That is going to be the new reality that we live in. So we are working on making sure that our solar fields are benefiting the city. I mean, they contribute over $12 million. You know, you might not feel it on your utility bill, but when you go see the beautiful parks, you know, the streets being maintained, that's all part of that quality of life that we have here. Big part of that is from the revenue we receive from them.
Okay, great. So along with that, there's also a lot of infrastructure that needs to be improved. You know, some of the electric lines certainly have been moved around recently. We have a lot of water issues as well. How are we approaching those projects? Do we have a plan to improve that infrastructure, or is it going to all fall on us at one time?
We're getting there, right? It went sorely neglected for years. Decades probably, but we are finally getting to that point. You know, I'm sure people have seen the work that's being done on Adams. I think that's like $9.8 million going on there. So we are getting there. We have a priority list, right? What are the things that we need to get done? And that's been a big part of what the Utility Advisory Committee has helped with. Is we've got a lot of expertise there, and making sure that everybody is kind of on the same page. You know, because there's also you know, you got to get your ducks in a row for some of these things, because if you don't have the substation that can connect to the you know, the new poles that you just put, the new power lines you just put in, and all that sort of stuff, you know, I don't know all the jargon, but I do know that you got to get, you know, everything in order to flip that switch and to have everything work. So that is something that we're working on, and I think something that we're doing a good job at doing.
Okay, great. So the fire department has suggested we might need a substation somewhere in town, just because there were more than 5 or 6 minutes out for some medical emergencies or things of that nature. Are you in favor of that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would be in favor of, you know, a EMS unit for every family if we could afford it, right? But at the end of the day, we have to just see, you know, can we afford it? Not just can we afford it, but can we support it? That's really the reality of it. You know, the building of the substation, all that sort of stuff, infrastructure, I mean, that's easy, right? We can do that. It's the employment, right? Adding on the new bodies onto the job, that those have long-term costs, that would be, you know, hard to, you know, once that's there, there's an expectation that it'll remain that way. So we just have to be sure that if we are going to do it, we have to see where are those costs going to come from. I think what's going to be most important is getting feedback from the community.
Right.
I have a feeling that those who are living outside of that that window, that golden window of when they can get there, are going to really want it. And,
yeah.
I absolutely understand that. So if we can get there, absolutely we should do it. I think that that's important for the community. We just have to be sure we're smart about it.
Sure. Okay, great, mm-hmm. great. So elections in Boulder City are nonpartisan. A lot of people, would feel more comfortable if they knew what your philosophy of government is. Are you comfortable in telling us, what party you're registered with, and whether that really matters to the city council?
Sure, sure. You know, and isn't that a shame, right? We've just spent 30 minutes talking about my approach to local governance and everything. But at the end of the day, for some, it's just that letter next to your name.
Right.
So for those people who it's important to, I am a registered Democrat. I think, like most people, I don't feel all that represented by these political parties now. They seem to be more interested in themselves and maintaining mm-hmm. their power than what's going on here at the ground level. And I think that that's actually really important to remember mm-hmm. is that these are nonpartisan races.
Right.
We're not dealing with the ideological stuff, the hot button issues. We're trying to keep the lights on. We're trying to make sure that we have a city that we can all love and live in together.
Right.
And so it's really important that we keep that partisan hot button issue stuff out of the conversation, because with most of it, it's nothing that we can address. And,
sure.
you know, it can be easy to rile people up with that sort of stuff. But
as
we start, if we start focusing on those types of things, these culture war issues mm-hmm. and all this sort of stuff that's going on, we're going to be distracting ourselves from keeping our nose to the grindstone and making sure that the city is properly run.
Right. And do you think it even matters at a local level, which party you're backing?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I've supported, here on the local level. I mean, really, and just throughout my life, I've supported people of all different types of parties. It's mm-hmm. really should always be about the candidate and where they come from.
Right.
You know, I might not always agree with the method in which to reach the goal, right?
Sure.
I think in the end, everybody really has the same, we all share the same goals.
Right.
It's just that philosophy of how do we reach those goals.
Sure.
So for me, what's always most important is, do we reach that goals? Are we moving forward together as a community, as a society? You know, that should always be the method or the end point. You know, how we reach that, if we get there, that's good. I'm not saying that any ends should justify the means.
Sure.
But I think what's important is that we all be working to get towards that shared goal.
Okay, great. So you want to get reelected. What do you want to accomplish in a second term?
For me, it's got to be modernizing the city, both in its functions, in its ordinances, the facilities. We've got a lot of catching up to do.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about the fact that our meetings weren't even being filmed. They were we had an audio tape. One of the big things that I'm working on right now, and it takes a long time. I don't even know if I'll see it, should I not get elected, but hopefully it still comes to fruition. I've been working on a night sky ordinance. That's something I've been hearing about since before I came onto council, something I know Councilman Harhe was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
When I started getting to work on that, one of the things I quickly realized, and it's like, yeah, let's do a night sky ordinance. What's the current lighting ordinance look like? And they said, well, we don't have a lighting ordinance. Well, what do you mean we don't have a lighting ordinance? We're a city. So that's something that we're having to start from the ground up,
mm-hmm.
And whether or not we move towards night sky or not, that's going to be for the council to decide. But at the end of the day, we're going to have a lighting ordinance,
mm-hmm.
something that, so that when the leaders in public works, as that position, changes over time, you're not just going to be having somebody making the best decision that they see at
mm-hmm.
the time and thus lacking consistency. They're going to have a document that says, okay, these are the guiding principles. And then if there is something that it becomes problematic, we can go back, look at the document, what needs to change.
Right.
And I think there are aspects like that throughout all of the city, making sure that our facilities meet the accessibility needs of those, need ADA accessibility and things of that
mm-hmm.
nature. So there's lots of work that we can do just to, moving us into the future without, making any grand changes to, what this city is most proud of, which is being this small, charming community that we all love.
Okay, great. Well, James, congratulations on first 3 years, and hopefully you'll get another term coming up here, and good luck during the election.
Yeah, thank you so much, Roger. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for joining us on the Boulder City Podcast, sponsored by the Emerald Island Casino and the Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, where slot players are treated like royalty. Special thanks to Boulder City Social for partnering with us on the election series and helping to disseminate the programs. Join us next week when we sit down with State Senator Joe Hardy, a candidate for Boulder City Mayor.